The more we understand what God has done for us, the more we will reach out to take the love and salvation of God to a world reeling under the plight of evil, poverty, and death.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
We are wrapping up chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 today of the book of Ephesians. If you were there for the first teaching, chapter 1, verse 3 is only a reminder. If you weren't, then you will see what we have covered in the first three chapters. And what you have on your seats next to you are blessings that we have because of the wealth that is given to us as believers through Jesus Christ. But look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so we started out that way. We've gone through. We've taken a lot of time to go through. I have come to even more so. I had close to 40 before this time of going through Ephesians. We have 51. Now, if you can go through there and you find that I duplicated some, let me know. If you find that you would like to add something to that, let me know too. But I have found 51 blessings that are ours today because we're in Christ Jesus. As we go through the message today, we will be going through the seven last blessings that we have because we belong to Jesus Christ. Are we rich as his children? Yes. We truly are. So join with me, please, in chapter 3. Beginning in verse 14. You remember last week we did verses 14 and 15. It says, for this reason, in verse 14. Why? What reason? Because of all that Christ has done for us through his salvation and the blessings that he has given to each and every one of us. Paul is going back through chapters 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and he's basically saying, for this reason, I bow. In other words, he's driven to a point of worship and humility before the Lord. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in praise and adoration and thanksgiving. He just comes to this point. From whom, notice he says, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so today we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, as we continue, we're going to go through a number of things. We're going to look at the next blessings that we have as we go through here, but we're going to be looking at a prayer that I believe probably is one that we should pray for each other, and we should pray for ourselves. We should pray for our family members, and so it's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. So on the screen, you're going to see, we're going to look at six aspects of prayer that we are to pray, that Paul brought there, and he'll conclude with verses 20 and 21 as we go through. Now, on the screen, there's going to be a lot of different things that we go through. You don't have to try to write them down unless you want to, because Tuesday, we will have it on our webpage, all of this outline that I'm going through today, because I wanted to put it into your hands that way. But let's just go through that, and let's sit, and before we take communion, just marvel at what God has done for each and every one of us. It's amazing that we would see what he has done. And so today we will study six prayer requests that God prayed that the followers of Jesus Christ will indeed be mature believers. Prior to this on the screen, I didn't notice that, but you probably saw the title of the message, Paul's Prayer for Maturity in Christ. Yesterday we were over at Myers, and I found this t-shirt, and I was going to wear it, but I thought, oh, I don't know, Sunday morning, the t-shirt, but it said strong. It didn't say army strong. It said strong, and I was going to make us Christian strong in that way, and I decided, ah, no, I won't do it. I bought a white one, so I'm wearing that. Anyway, so, but we are to be mature. We are to be strong in Christ. And all that that means, we're going to develop that. So the six prayer requests that we see as we go through this, let's read beginning in verse 14 again. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, number one, and you'll see this on the screen, we see here, number one, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And so that would be number one, for strength and power within by God's Spirit. If we pray that for each other, do you think God would answer that prayer? He truly would. And it's a blessing. Number two, we find in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's an important prayer that we are to pray. Number three, found in verse 17, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And we're going to develop that and talk about that. Then we see number four prayer request that we can come before the Lord and pray. In verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. And number five prayer request, verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Do you think that would be a good thing for us to know? Absolutely. So we are to pray. And then number six, also found in verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I like that. All means? All the fullness of God. And then he closes it out with kind of like a final greeting. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations. That means us too, forever and ever. And then how does he end this prayer? Amen. And what does amen mean? Amen. So be it. So be it. What a powerful prayer that we can pray as we pray for each other in this way. So let's begin, and we're going to go through. You know what direction we're going, and we're going to look at these things that we see there. The first prayer request, that God would grant you, there in verse 16, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. Again, would that be a good thing for us? So why would we not pray for ourselves, pray for our family members, pray for our extended family people, persons that know Christ and all that, pray for us within this church and other churches, that God would grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, that God would grant you. Let's look at that just for a moment. Notice it is God who will be the one to do the work, and he's the one to answer the prayer. We want God to answer the prayer because he knows what is best for us. Amen? Father knows best. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, until we're with him. That's a promise of God, and that's what we are to pray, that we would understand that, we would go deep into that. Each one of these things is us. I was thinking about it, you guys that like coffee. You guys that like coffee, I'll drink tea. Coffee, I've had two sips in my life, and I hated both sips. But, you know, some of you guys really get into coffee. You get these things that you put the grains in or something. They do it out here when they do it for you, and then they press it down, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? I don't know how that works. They press it down, and out of the bottom comes this that you like drinking. I don't know why, but it's like that. But with the Lord, it's like that, that he presses down, and out of it comes his riches, his blessing. We fall deeper in love with him as we see what he does. And Paul, I believe, is explaining this as we go through this. According to the riches of his glory. What are these riches? Well, some people have said there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. I've never counted them. But from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, verse 21, they say there's over 7,000 promises for you and I. We've just looked at, as we've seen, 51 promises here in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And I'm fairly sure that we're pretty close to what the proper number is in that section. But it's amazing. 7,000 promises. What are his riches? They are revealed to us in his creation and the heavens and the earth. His creation. Do you realize for the second week in a row, an asteroid or a meteorite or whatever you would call it came within less than 40,000 miles of Earth? That is amazing when you think about that. If that hit the Earth, it would be like two nuclear bombs exploding at the same time wherever it hit. the power of God, the creation of God that we have. We just, that's part of his riches. What are the riches of God? They are the riches of his grace that is found in Jesus Christ. All of his riches. Paul said this, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We cannot search too far. We will never run out. As deep as we go, as far as to the right, as far as to the left, if we go high, as far as we can go, his riches are beyond that. We see in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? We truly are blessed. That's what Paul's saying there. To be strengthened with might, that is an interesting phrase. It means to be made strong, tough, enduring. It means to have energy, might, force, to act, to endure, to resist. It points to the power for action. You and I need power to act today. Amen? When you woke up, you needed power to act. Okay, here we are. But that's what we need in our lives. In every single moment of our lives, we need that power. And that's what Paul's saying. Pray that we would be strengthened with might. And how are we strengthened by might in that verse? Again, through his Spirit. There is no other source than God himself, through the Holy Spirit, that we can have power to conquer the severe trials and corruptions of this world, all of which result in death and decay. Two situations that we have to pray for. El Paso, 20 or more people unfortunately lost their lives because some crazy individual walked into a Walmart. Did you read that in Dayton, in a bar, there also 10 people, maybe more, lost their lives last night about 1 o'clock in that way. It's an evil world. It's just being poured out before our very eyes in that way. No group of men, not even all the men in the world with all their science and technology, possess the power to control evil and the final death of a man or woman. No power has control over that. God has control. It says in the Bible that he has numbered our days here on earth. He's in control of our life. We don't have to worry, will we go to heaven today or go to heaven tomorrow? It's all in God's hand. He's the one that chooses. He's in control of our lives because we belong to him. We do not even have the power to make one single person perfect or mature. There is only one power to accomplish these things and accomplish more than that. It is found in the Spirit of God. Amen? And that's what Paul's saying here that we see, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. We're going to look at that. What does it mean? What is the inner man? The believer needs to be strengthened with power in the inner man. That is, in the deepest part of his or her being. In his soul, in his heart, in his spirit that God has renewed. Why is that true? Two reasons. Because it is the only way the believer can overcome the flesh with all of its weakness. It is the only way the believer can conquer. Look on the screen here. We'll see this now over there. You guys are going through. We've already passed that. Go to the next one. It says temptation and sin. See that where it is right there? Did I lose you? I'm sorry. There it is, temptation and sin. And so it's only by God do we overcome temptation and sin. It's only by God we overcome trouble and trials. It's only by God that we can have victory over disease and suffering. It's only through Jesus Christ that he can bring grief and conquer death in our lives. Selfishness and worldliness, problems and circumstances, he is the one because he strengthens the inner man, the inner person for each in each and every one of our lives. Second, because it is the only way the believer can ever lay claim to all the blessings of God and fulfill God's eternal purpose for his life. Simply put, the believer's spirit must be strong and powerful enough, number one, to be everything God wants him or her to be, and number two, to do everything God wants him or her to do. Again, looking there at verse 16, that he would grant you, how personal that is, according to the riches of his glory. Then number one prayer request, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. He's the only one that can do that in our lives. And that's what Paul's saying. Then he goes into verse 17 and we see two prayer requests there. The first one, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How many would welcome that? He does. Today, salvation. Christ comes into our very inner being. That is, that Christ might rule and reign in our hearts by faith. He would be in our lives. He would rule and reign. Strong words. Strong words. We accept the Lord as our Savior. But then we have to learn to yield our life to the Lord, that he would become the Lord of our lives in that way. This word dwell, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, it's an interesting word. It means permanently, not a temporary dwelling, but a permanent dwelling. Points out three things to consider in our lives, that Christ would be at home and live in a permanent sense within the believer. He would come and he would dwell, and that our lives become him, his. We yield ourselves to him in a permanent fashion in that way. Second, that the believer is always aware and conscious that Christ has taken up residence within me. Are we aware of that as we walk through life? Are we aware that what we allow our eyes to see, Christ is in us at that very moment? Do we control what our eyes see? Do we control where our feet take us? Do we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, guard our heart, our hearts and the hands where our hands can go in those ways? That's what Paul's talking about here, that the believer would always be aware and conscious that Christ has taken up residence within us. And number three, that the believer would allow Christ to control and guide his life. That's why Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I know I'm a broken record, but that would be our prayer each and every morning. Did we pray that today? I want to encourage us to pray that, that we would surrender our lives because of the mercies of God. We would surrender our lives to God. And that would be our act of spiritual worship, that we would not be conformed to this world, but we would be transformed and renewed. Our minds would be moved to that perfect, that place that God has for each and every one of us. It's a beautiful thing, but it's a challenging thing as we walk with the Lord. And look at verse 17, the third prayer request, that you be rooted and grounded in love. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means to be firmly fixed, to be rooted and grounded in love. Firmly fixed. No matter what, we stand upon that love. We know, it says in Scripture, God is what? Love. So everything that comes our way is allowed by God because of his love for us. There's a lot of challenges we go through. When we look at El Paso, we look at Dayton, we say, Lord, how can that be? Well, I understand that there's an enemy. I understand that there's flesh. But I turn to God, and somehow God, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for God, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good in that sense there. Hard to understand, but if we're rooted and grounded in love, then we can have a sure foundation. And it is in love. What is the description of love that Paul's talking about? He spoke about it in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then I believe after that comes a description of love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Listen to what God's love is. It suffers long and it is kind. Love does not envy. God's love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never what? Fails. When I feel my flesh rising up, anybody else feel that at times? Your flesh rising up. Be aware that that's not God's love. It's the flesh. It's that which is diametrically opposed to God's love. So Paul prayed there. Again, look at verse 16, that he would grant you. May we pray, God, grant us according to your riches, according to your glory, number one, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. May we again say amen to that. Number two, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then number three, that you, that's personally, you and I, being rooted and grounded in love. And here comes the fourth prayer request that Paul has there. Notice there, may be able to comprehend, verse 18, with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height. It is crucial that the believer grasp God's eternal plan and glorious salvation. We have seen this plan unfold as we've studied Ephesians 1 through 3. Look on the screen here. We will see. We've looked at the great blessing of God. We've taken time to speak of the knowledge and power of God. We've also, as we've gone through in chapter 2, we've looked at the mercy and grace of God, that we would be able to comprehend all of these things. We've seen number 4, the reconciliation and peace wrought by God. We've studied that. We've looked at the church, who and what it is, so we might have understanding in that way. And we look at the new body of people God is forming. All these things we've been studying, that we may be able to comprehend, understand all this with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height. The more we understand what God has done for us, the more we will reach out to take the love and salvation of God to a world reeling under the plight of evil, poverty, and death. I was blessed this morning as my phone went off, and I'm a chaplain with the Billy Graham Organization, and there was a call out for people that would go to El Paso. I imagine there's going to call out to people to go to Dayton, trained chaplains that would go there. I just love the body of Christ. I love to see how they respond, and they would go in the midst of those situations, not necessarily saying anything, but just being the ministry of presence, representing a God that loves each and every person. Then again, may we be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height of the love of God. To understand this richness of the gospel and the love of God is like exploring a diamond mine or a vein, following a vein in the earth of gold. You know, we go down and we discover it. And what do we want to do immediately? If we find that vein or the diamond mine, what do we want? We want to go deeper, don't we? And we go, okay, I found this. This is a treasure. There's got to be more, so I want to search it out. That's what Paul's talking about here, that we would search it out and go as deep and as far and as wide to the left and the right, to up to the bottom, to wherever we would go, to find out and search his love so that we might tell other people how good God is. That's who we are. Vessels of praise, vessels of worship, vessels to tell every other person that we can, every person that God loves them. We have the privilege in our school today. How many, Scott? No, I mean from China. We have 10 students. A couple, I think, are in here trying to grapple with me talking so fast with their English. But yet, we have 10 students that come from China. I pray that if they experience anything, they experience the love of Christ. They would understand that. And they would take that back to their nation and the wonderful people that are there. Look at verse 19. Number 5, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. We want to know the love of Christ. This is by Paul an appeal to experience personally the vast love of God. To do that, we have to get into Scripture. To do that, we need to spend time in prayer. To do that, we come together, we serve the Lord. God desires that we not only have an intellectual knowledge of his love, but also a real personal experience of it, which passes knowledge. What does that mean? It goes beyond understanding. It goes beyond comprehension. It transcends all knowing, is what Paul's saying. There is no end to it. There is no limit to it. And as we keep going deeper and deeper, more of his love is revealed to us there. And there also in verse 19, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love this one. I say, Yahoo, Lord. have your way, that we would be filled there, as it says, with all the fullness of God. The Amplified Bible, I like it. And it says this concerning this verse, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That is, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Isn't that not amazing? Some people that you meet seem to be flooded more in special ways. That's a work of God. It's just a special work of God. I think of a man named Charlie Riggs of the Billy Graham Association. Whenever you met that man, you know, I've mentioned this before. One time Mike McIntosh and I were walking behind. We were there being part of a Billy Graham crusade, and we were behind the scenes and we were walking, and Mike and I knew Charlie Riggs, and Charlie Riggs was coming our way. And we knew when Charlie saw us, when he came over, we were going to go through about 20 to 30 minutes of a Bible study. It just poured out of him, and we were on our way. We had a mission, but he, you know, he stopped us in our tracks, true to form, 20 minutes of a Bible study. It just oozed out of him, all about the love of God, all about scriptures. Is that the way it is in our lives today? And it just oozes out of us. That's what God is pointing, that you may be filled with all the fullness of Christ. We as believers are to pray for God to constantly fill us, to constantly flood us with all the fullness of God. It's an amazing thing. The believer possesses the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. What more could we possibly ask for? That's what we have today. It's a wonderful thing. Notice it's according to the power that works in us. Verse 20. What is that power within us? It is the combined power of all that God has put within us, all that for which we are praying. Look on the screen here, going through the scriptures. The power of the Spirit strengthening us. Verse 16. The power of Christ indwelling us. Verse 17. The power of love working in us. The power of understanding all that God does. And the power of the fullness of God himself. That's what Paul prayed there. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, immeasurably more, infinitely more, above and beyond, that you may be filled with all. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What a way to end chapter 3, that section, the wealth of the believer. Notice the purpose of God in answering these prayers for us, that God might be glorified in the church through Jesus Christ throughout all ages, without end, world without end. Do we serve an amazing Lord? We truly, truly do. And so as we close, may we reflect on just how strong and powerful God is. For he is able, according to these scriptures, to do exceedingly. That means to surpass, to go beyond any request, to overcome and do anything, abundantly, to overflow and do more than enough, above, to go over and above, beyond any need that we may have, and all that we ask, anything that our heart may desire. Scripture says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. All that we think, God is able to respond to all that we think and beyond what we can think. It's an amazing thing. And so I opened up the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I looked through scripture, and I found that God is able to do these things. It says, number one, to raise up children from stones. Do we believe that God could do that? According to scripture, Jesus said that would be so if necessary. Number two, to make grace abound in our lives. Again, pressing down, abounding in our lives. Can he do that? Number three, to do exceedingly abundantly. We talked about that. Can God do that? I don't think you guys believe that he can. Yes. Yeah, that he can. He can do that on our behalf. Number four, make grace abound, to do exceedingly abundantly. Number five, to subdue all things. Thank you for the yeses there. Pam, I really appreciate you. To guard the soul's treasure. to save to the uttermost. He'll take us all the way through and to keep us from falling. Praise the Lord. He'll do all of that. Amen? So we are blessed people today.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.